Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come together in fellowship with the body of Christ, believers, partakers in the household of faith. God has given us this time that we could come and expound on his word together. I thank God for the opportunity for allowing me to go before his people. And I thank each and every one of you who have taken the time out of your schedule to come and join us as we fellowship in the word of God. Tonight, our lesson is going to come from the book of 2 Peter. We're going to expound on the first through the ninth verse. And I sent out and asked you to read the whole chapter. And the title of our lesson is Becoming Mature in the Things of God is a Choice. Our Christian walk is all about growth. We grow in knowledge. We grow in knowing God. We grow in our responsibility. We grow in our character towards the things of God. And we know everybody don't grow at the same time and at the same pace. But it is each and every one of our responsibility to grow. And at this time, I'm going to play a song, and I thought the song was so appropriate because the title of the song says, I'm going to run till I finish. Our Christian journey with God is not a destination. You don't learn so much and it's over. God is always revealing the mysteries in his word, and the Holy Spirit is giving illumination and revelation of the truth of God to us in our journey. It's a race. The Bible said a race is not given to the swift, nor to the strong, but those who endure to the end. The songwriter says he's going to run the race till it's finished. He's not going to stop. He's not going to give up. You know, many times we're not where we want to be in the things of God, but it don't have nothing to do where we're going to be in the things of God if we continue to press forward towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is Christ Jesus. And it's a beautiful thing. And I thank God. And at this time, I'm going to play the song. And as I said earlier, the title of the song is I'm going to Run Till It's Finished. We all made a decision in our mind at some point that we was going to run the race that is given to us after we accepted Christ. You know, it was times in our lives that we didn't always do what we could do, did what we should have did, but we kept on pressing. And the trick and the thing is to not stop. Keep pressing, keep moving forward, and keep growing in your knowledge about God, our Father, and Jesus Christ.
I have decided, determined, I'm committed that I'll run. No matter. And I have decided, determined, I'm committed that I'll run, even though at times I may get lost. I'm going to finish my race. I'm going to take my proper place in the winning circle. I'm going to run anyway. I don't know where or when or how, but I know that I'm going to make it. Oh, I'll run this race, now so safely in amazing grace. I made up my mind, and I don't have much time, but I'll run till I finish. I'm going to run this race. I'm going to take my proper place in the winning circle. And I'm going to run anyway. I don't know where, I don't know where, but I know I'm gonna make it. Oh, I'll run this race, now so safely in amazing grace. I made up my mind, I don't have much time, so I'll run till I finish. Time, but I'm gonna run, I'm gonna run, I'm gonna run till I finish. Yeah, I made up my mind, I don't have much time, but I'll run till I finish.
Amen, amen, amen. Our Christian journey with God, we have to have a made-up mind. Not saying once we make up our mind that we'll do everything right and everything perfect, because the Bible tells us we all fall short. But we have to have a made-up mind that we are going to follow Christ at all costs. And we're going to run the race until we finish. And that's our responsibility unto God. And at this time, we're going to have our prayer warrior, Sister Pam, is going to come and bring us to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found. Sister Pam, your mic is open and you could come at this time.
Good evening, everybody. I will bless the Lord at all times, for his praise shall continuously to be in my mouth. Giving you thanks, O Lord, for life tonight. Thanking you, Lord Jesus, for our Bible study. Thank you for our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane. Continue to use her, Lord, in ways that only you can. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for each and every person on the line, phone lines, and on the internet on tonight that's listening in, Lord Jesus. I pray that you touch, heal, and deliver, and set free. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for us, for all that you're doing right now, Lord Jesus, and for all that you're still to do. Thank you for the gifts, O Lord. Thank you for the promise to never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, and thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Pam.
Thank
you for allowing God to use you. I thank you so much. Well, it's time to go into the Word of God. I pray that each and every one of you had a chance to read the second chapter of Peter, the first verse in its entirety. I pray that you have your Bibles with you and turn it to 2 Peter, the first chapter, because this is Bible study. When you went to school, you used to bring your books. You come into school now to study the Bible. This is Bible study, and you can follow along. It's all right to listen to me, and many people believe if I say it, you know, that is true and line up. But I have never confessed to know everything. And many things we have heard over our lives, we may repeat it because we heard it so many times. And then we find out that it doesn't line up with the word of God. So that's why I encourage you, because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, that we all have to study to show ourselves approved as workmen need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. You know, when we were young, we repeated what our parents told us concerning God. And if we never studied for ourselves, that's all we had. And today we still repeating it. And much of it can be true. And some of it might not line up. So that's why the Bible, Paul, encouraged us in Timothy to study for ourselves. So again, I pray that each and every one of you have your Bibles. And we go on, the title of the lesson is Becoming Mature in the Things of God is a Choice. When I look at that title and I thought about it, you know, you have to decide to want to grow and become mature in the things of God. If you look around every day at people, you know, you can truly realize that everybody have not grown. There's Christians been in church for many, many, many years. And as the Bible talks about drinking milk, you know, when you accept Christ and you join a church and you begin to follow Christ, you're new. You're not expected to know a lot. So they put that with an analogy of drinking milk. Paul said he had to talk to some of his people that had been with him for a long time as babes drinking milk because they had never fully understood and grew in the word of God. So you have to grow. Christian growth is essential for your life. God wants all of us to grow, but God's already as grown as he could get. God asks us to grow up. And when you grown, you have more power, you have more faith, you have more peace, you have more joy, because you begin to trust God. You can't trust somebody you don't know. When you learn this about God and learn that about God in the Bible, you say, all right, God really has it going on. And you begin to trust more, and you begin to lean on it, and you begin to do the things that he asks us to do, because he always tells us the blessings that are attached. Just like they have consequences attached to sin, blessings attached to your obedience. And I'm going to speak a little while about Peter. You know, Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. Matter of fact, when Jesus got ready to start his ministry after his baptism by John the Baptist, Peter was one of the first persons that he called. Peter was a fisherman, and they were out fishing. Jesus knew he had to get his men together. It was already ordained that he would have 12, and Jesus, once he started his ministry, began to choose the ones that was going to be with him. Peter was a fisherman, and Jesus told him, come with me, and I'll make you a fisherman of men. Peter didn't hesitate. Peter didn't say, let me go home and tell my wife. Peter didn't say, wait, I'm going to come tomorrow. Peter got up and followed Christ. You see, Peter wrote this book we're in today, 2 Peter. But when he wrote this book, it was several years after his first encounter with Jesus. You know, Jesus' ministry was only 3 years. And when Peter wrote this book, Jesus was dead. But when he wrote it, it was, you know, some years after he had first met Jesus. You see, Peter was a disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he also wrote 1 Peter. You know, this is the last known writing of Peter. And not long after he was martyred, which means he was killed because of his strong conviction for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that all of the disciples were martyred, being killed because of their conviction with Jesus Christ, except John, the gospel writer, not John the Baptist. John, the gospel writer. If we look at the life of Peter, we will realize that Peter was enthusiastic, very strong-willed. He was impulsive. And at times, he was just plain arrogant. And many times, very cocky. You see, Peter was the spokesperson for the disciples. And he did it boldly, even sometimes being incorrect. He had a zeal not fully knowledge. You see, he was one of Jesus' closest friend, an apostle and a pillar of the church. You see, but with all of his strength, Peter had several failures in his life. Anybody going through and know that they have failures in your life? And you're beating up on yourself, I come to tell you it happened to the best. All that Peter was, he had failures in his life just like you and just like I. But he kept it moving. You see, Peter was the one when Jesus was teaching him and told him that he had to die and he would be crucified and he would resurrect on the third day. See, Jesus was teaching us disciples, but oh, when Peter heard this, he wasn't ready for that. So he rebuked Jesus. Come on, y'all. And he had to be put in his place. Peter was also the one when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying right before he was going to be arrested by the soldiers. Jesus was preparing for his death. Jesus knew the time had arrived that he had to go be arrested, suffer, carry a cross, put in a borrowed tomb, and rise on 3 days that he could take away the sins of the world, your sins and mine. So Jesus was ready to do what his father had told him to do. But oh, that Peter, the man, the soldier grabbed Jesus and Peter took his sword out and cut the man ear off. There was another time when Peter began to walk on water. And when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. And I'm talking about that Peter because of fear. Denied our Lord Jesus 3 times. Y'all know when they picked Jesus up and all of them scattered and Peter was close trying to peep. And the lady said, oh, he's one of them that was with him. Peter said no. But Jesus had already predicted that one of them would deny him 3 times before the cock crow. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Peter. But I could tell you through it all, Peter kept pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, we all fall short of the glory of God sometime in our lives. But we must do like Peter did when he fell. He got up, he repented, and he kept it moving, y'all. You see, after spending time with Jesus, in that 3-year time of Jesus teaching and preaching and talking with him, he continued to grow in grace and knowledge of God. And Peter became mature. Come on, y'all. Now, Jesus had preached and taught personally with his disciples for 3 full years. But when they arrested Jesus, Peter didn't quite understand. When Peter denied him, he allowed fear to get in. I'm just showing you. You know, Peter matured. But in the three years of personally sitting with Jesus, he hadn't got there yet. Everybody don't grow at the same time and mature, but it's our job to have Christian growth. You see, but now when he writes 1 Peter and 2 Peter, you know he understands the word of God. And he began to do the work of God. So I believe when Peter looked back over his life, he realized that when he rebuked Jesus about leaving, he was leaning to his own understanding. When he cut the soldier ill, now he realized that the battle was not his, but it belonged to the Lord. And when he sank, it was because he took his eyes off of Jesus. Come on, y'all. And when he denied Jesus three times, it was because of fear. And he now knows that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. And he should have held on to the confession of his faith. But through it all, God chose him. And it was done before the foundation of the world. Come on, y'all. That's when we always chose. And after that, God continued to mold, shape, arrange, and rearrange him into to exactly who he tended him to be. See, God is working on our lives, y'all. Many of us haven't got there yet. God is constantly arranging and rearranging the matters in our lives to get us to where he wants us to be. God had an intended purpose for all of our lives. And when he says, I'm working all things out together for your good, that's what he's saying. I'm working everything out together for your good, which you'll call operation, to get you into the intended purpose that I had for you, to give you the expected end that I have for you. God is a good God, y'all. You see, when Jesus chose Peter, remember I told you he was just a little man out there fishing, arrogant, stubborn. They said Peter could curse like a sailor. And he did work on a ship, so maybe that's where it came from. Peter had a cursing mouth. Arrogant, stubborn, cheeky. But you see, when Jesus chose Peter, at that time when Peter was in that state, right? I just want y'all to follow. But he saw beyond who Peter was at that time, and he realized who Peter would become. God don't look at us where we at. God look at us where we're going to finish. It's a race, as the songwriter said. Hallelujah, y'all. You see, God has a master plan for all of our lives. He is in control, and we must be confident that he who has begun a good work in us can be forming into the Jesus till the day of Jesus Christ. But you got to trust him, y'all. As we grow, we understand that the word of God, that which give us knowledge of God's grace, which is activated by faith in Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, is how we become mature. You see, what God did for Peter, he'll do the same for you. God doesn't allow our past to dictate our future. Praise be to God for that. And Peter had grown up so much after Jesus' death that just like Jesus, Peter was crucified. Now, many people believe when he was crucified, and it is said a lot that Peter, because he had so much love and reverence and respect for Jesus, I didn't find it in the Bible, but that when Jesus, when Peter was going to be crucified, because of his respect and reverence for Jesus, he didn't want to hang on the cross as Jesus did. He wanted them to crucify him upside down. There's no proof of it, but it's been said often and many times. And it really sounds like Peter, after growing in grace and the knowledge, would have said. But I can't tell you where to go find it in the Bible. Glory, hallelujah. That's our little background about a character at this time. And we're going into the Word of God, 2 Peter, the first chapter. I'm going to read verses 1, 2, 3. And the scripture reads, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to whom that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now this is Peter writing this, y'all. Peter said he's a servant. He's an apostle. And he have obtained precious faith given by God, but not just him, but for all of us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2, he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus and of Jesus our Lord. He praying that grace and peace be multiplied, that it grows in you as you grow, that your grace and your peace grow. He said, according this verse 3, according as the divine power God has given unto us, all things pertaining unto life and godliness through knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. What Peter is saying here, according to his divine power, who power? God power. He has given us everything that we need pertaining to how to be a godly person. God has already given us the provision, y'all. There's a scripture where God said it is him that will and accomplish his pleasure from you. He's providing everything you need. Trust him, rely on him, know what he's providing. And you're going to get this, and you're going to know once you know him, when you receive the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, when we look at that word virtue, virtue means godly living. He said he has called us to glory and virtue. He's called us to be obedient. He called us to do what is right because it's just the right thing to do. He called us to separate ourselves from the standards of the world. He called us to hold up the God's stand banner, to let our light so shine that he will get glory. He has called us to glory and virtue. Everybody ought to know who you belong to. If you got one foot in and one foot out, sometimes they don't know what's going on with you. They don't know who you belong to, and yet, you know, you're confessing and saying who you are. But sometimes people can't tell. But he's called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. He said not only God called us to glory and virtue, but he's given us precious promises that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature. We had a nature given to us by Adam once he sinned. So we all had a sin nature, but Jesus came in. And now that by these we might be partakers in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hallelujah, y'all. You see, here we see, now I'm going to expound on it because I know I have some new listeners on the line. That's for the verses that I've written, read, and I said some expounding as I was reading, but I'm going to give a little thing on it. You see, here we see that Peter is talking to us, the believers of Jesus Christ. We got to know who he's talking to. This is a letter that Peter wrote. For we have obtained like precious faith, because God has allowed it to each a measure of faith. The word of God tells us that God has given all of us a measure of faith, everybody. And the Bible also says if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you know a mustard seed is the smallest seed there is. And you got to realize that no matter what the question is, the word of God has the answer. You see, this scripture says, according to his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and you can only obtain it through the knowledge of him that has called us. If you don't know God, you don't know the promises of God. You can't stay and tall and pat on your chest and say, God said he's going to make my enemies my footstool. God says the weapons that form against me shall not prosper. God says I'm going to be the lender and not the borrower. God says weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. See, you ain't going to be able to say all of that, them promises that God gave you, because you don't know them. Because you just don't know them. But God gave us the Holy Bible. God gives teachers, pastors, evangelists, and all of these things. That we could have a place to go in and fellowship one in the, with another to grow. See, God has did his part. And now it's time we have to put in the work. You see, the power to grow doesn't come from us, but from God. Divine nature by creating us in his image, which is his righteousness. We had no righteousness. We couldn't obtain righteousness. God said, I want them to have virtue and godliness living. He said, so what I'm going to do since they accepted my son, I'm going to extend my righteousness towards them. I'm going to share my righteousness with them. Come on, y'all. And he did it. You see, Christians are now responsible to draw upon the provisions in order to build godly character in an ungodly world. You might say that you trust God, but I know you can't truly say trust someone you don't know. What you going to trust about? So, first of all, you're probably trusting what you heard other people say. Oh, but when it's a difference, when you could say, and not they. Me, not my mama. It's a different y'all. Does God want to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us? You see, God has given us his word. But we have to put in the work to grow. There is no way humanly possible to know God without studying his word. You will never even know who you are until you know who your maker is. That's why so many people are looking for love in the wrong places. The word of God is where God allows us to know him, y'all. And then he gave us his Holy Spirit to help to give us illumination and revelation and explanation when we don't know. As we read, many times people say, Sister Diane, I read the Bible, but I don't get nothing out of it. What should I do? And I make that face that I can make. And I stand up and I look around and I get real serious. I say, I'm going to tell you. So they waiting for this big old thing to come out of my mouth. I say, well, let me tell you. They say, well, go ahead on and tell me. I say what I suggest you do is just keep on reading. Everybody had to start somewhere. The word of God is where God allows us to know him. The word of God is God talking to us. It's time to grow up, y'all. And yes, it's a choice. I'm going to read verses 5 through 8. And it says, and besides this, given all diligence. Now, Peter's telling us how to grow, how to become mature. And besides what he said, the virtue and the godliness and the divine nature, he's saying, besides this, given all diligence, he said, okay, now you got to add a little faith to that virtue. Your godly living, do it by faith. And to virtue, and to virtue, he said, add knowledge. And number 6, he's saying, to that knowledge you got, add temperance. He said, now when you got temperance, add patience. And to patience, godliness. Now you all, you know, we live in Louisiana, we always talking about gumbo. That seemed like a good mixture of a little bit of everything. And then it's so good. And verse 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. See, that's important to God. You remember when they asked Jesus what was the greatest commandment out of 10, and he broke it down to 2. He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. He's saying, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Because you see, you could be kind to your brother and your brother may need something. So after you add this brotherly kindness and you love your brother like you love yourself, when they're in need, extend charity towards them if they need it. And verse 8, and if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren. Barren is when something is empty. Nor unfruitful. Jesus says, show me your, you know, the fruits of your labor. See, you can't be fruitful without doing the work, the will of God, giving charity, loving your brothers, virtual living. You will not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ if you do these things. That's all Peter's telling us. You see, these scriptures are letting us know what is necessary to grow and become mature. He took his time and he wrote it and he gave it to us and he wrote it with confidence and he showed, because you see, he done matured and he walked with God and he grew and grew and grew. And now he's able to tell us with such authority and plain and simple. Hallelujah. You see, the traits stated in this scriptures are needed to grow and be productive and fruitful. Y'all know Christians that are not productive and fruitful. If we take inventory of ourselves and we are still drinking milk, as the Bible says, new Christians does, because of their newness, and we have been with God, as I said earlier, for a long time and can't digest the meat of the word. I come to tell you tonight, something is wrong. Now, are they saved? Yes, if they accepted Christ with their whole heart. But wouldn't it be better to live in this world knowing all that God has for you, all that God is doing, has done, and promised to do? We live in a wicked world. And it's not so much what we're going to go through, it's who we go through it with. And the more knowledge we know of who we're going through it with makes our walk, even though it's horrible, feels a little bit better. It gives us hope. It gives us promise that we can make it, as the songwriter said earlier, to finish the race. Knowing the word of God and knowing God is for you, God knows who he is. If you never read the Bible, not another day in your life, God is still going to be God. Your reading the Bible don't make God more God or God less God. It makes you more prepared and matured for the obstacles that's going to come your way. The book of James tells us when we fall into divers of temptations. He didn't say if we fall. He said when we fall, because there will be trials and tribulations for all of us, y'all. Because we all fall short. See, the word of God lets us know God has supplied everything necessary for us to grow. We have to submit and commit and get ready and do the work. Growth and maturity is an option. We all should know that. And it's up to you how fast and far you travel. You see, Satan is always watering down the word of God in your mind, trying to get you to think where you are all right. You don't need any more. He uses things like that. You know, sometimes he'll tell you, well, I'm better than some people I know. Never line yourself up to other people. Line yourself up to Jesus Christ. He gave us a good example how to live in this world when he walked the earth in the flesh for those 3 years. Some say things like, the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. But you might have some new stuff in there that you got to get rid of, that you got to get rid of too. And then some of them stick their checks out. Well, you know, ain't nobody perfect. And we all know that. We're not perfect. And God never told you he was looking for your perfection. He's looking for the direction that you're going in today by day. How you grow a little more today than you was yesterday. How you gave a little more. How you gave more of yourself. How you began to do different things that he asked us to do. You might be an encourager and you're going around encouraging somebody. What are you doing? Where are you growing? And if you just read the word of God and think, oh, I'm there, you got to put the word of God into action. Some people read the word of God and go to church and sit within them four walls. But I come to tell you tonight it's time for the church to leave the building. Oh, you know the word of God. You're reading the word of God. You're handling the word of God. But how is the word of God handling you? You might be hearing it, but are you doing it? You see, the devil is a liar. I just want you to know that. That's things that Satan put in your mind. And some of the things he's put there have been there so long, you don't even remember where it came from. Foolishness. Take a look back over your life. You see, Satan's job is to keep you from being one of God's best. Satan ain't giving you no information or dealing with you in love to try to get you to be one of God's best. Understand that. James 4:7 say, resist the devil and he has to flee. You see, the word of God is designed to aid you in all matters that pertain to life, godly living life, in order to live in this evil world. There is the world's standard, which is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, which leads to destruction. And God's standards that give us life. choose you this day. You see, the world will throw you curveballs all the time, hope to strike you out, and he keep throwing them over and over and over again because that's just a part of life, and that's just because all he can do. But you see, with God on your side, those weapons that are formed against you will not prosper. You have to choose, like I said, this day, who you're going to serve. The word of God said you can't serve two masters. Either you're going to love one and hate the other one. Choose this day. But you don't really know God's standard unless you study to show yourself approved. And with the word of God in you and you getting the knowledge, it'll help to stop straddling the fence. You see, the Bible teaches us that we have to live in this world, but we're not of this world. We are living in God's kingdom here on earth and should represent the righteous king at all times. We're in the kingdom of God here on earth. And I come to ask you, are you a good citizen in the kingdom? You see, the Bible explains how to do it, but we must read it if we want Christian growth so that our latter days, which the Bible tells us, will be better than our beginning. And the last verse, verse 9, and it says, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see far off and has forgotten that he was purged from his sinful ways. I mean, that's a reality thing, and that's fair to say. You know people who have started off with Christ, and then they got caught up and tangled up. They didn't lose their salvation if they really were saved. But it's almost like they went back and dug up their old nature and their old man, because when we accept Christ, old things are passed away and behold, we are new. So I say, this is letting us know that if you lack knowledge in the things of God, you are blind and cannot see far off. And if you are doing a good work, it may appear. If you are not doing good works and you've been saved all this time, you don't do nothing for nobody unless it's your family. You don't want to do nothing for nobody. The word of God said, if you are not doing a good work, you know, sometimes it may appear that you were never saved. You act like you forgot that you were purged from your old sins. Why would you continue to do the things you did when you was ignorant? There was a time you didn't know, but now that you do, there should be growth. And behold, all things are passed away, and behold, all things should be new. And even with that, y'all, to be honest, there are still struggles. But even while you have the struggles that you have, you keep on doing the things of God that you know that you can do. And you wait on God to deliver you. And while you're waiting for your deliverance, keep on doing what you know and can do, which is right. You see, growing sometimes causes pain, but it's been said, no pain, no gain. When you are saved, you enter the sanctification process. When we first accept Christ, we got in position. God gave us everything. It wasn't dependent on, how they say that other job, tenureship and all of that. When you accepted Christ, you got full benefits. Hallelujah. And if you did it right, you got a full retirement plan. At the beginning, before you did the work, it was a retirement made in heaven, y'all. And after you accept him, you go through the process of sanctification. And I want you to know we're being sanctified by God daily. We in the process of sanctification that's going to be with us until Jesus come back. That's where we at right now. You know, when you're born and then when you die in your casket, they have the date you was born and the date you die, and they got a dash in it. We are doing a dash right now, y'all. We are being sanctified in a dash. In a dash, we're here on earth. God has given us all these tools and the word and the prophets and the priests, and the God has given us all of this that we could make that dash shine, and our living wouldn't be in vain. And then the third part of sanctification is when Jesus come back and when he take off all of our corruptible and give us incorruptible. There will be no sin. There will be no sin. There won't even be the presence of sin. See, when we accept it, there was sin, and their sin is still here. But God has given us the power over that sin. And when Jesus come back, there won't even be presence of sin. But until then, we got to work here on earth. And we are being sanctified by God with all of his goodness. And we living out the dash. Hallelujah, y'all. And in that dash, we have to be studying and praying and growing and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. And we must cooperate with him and submit unto him. Glory, hallelujah. You know, James, in James, the second chapter and the 26th verse, they say, for as the body is without, the body without the spirit is dead. Y'all got that? The body without the spirit. Spirit came to us once we accepted Christ. Before we accepted Christ and until we accepted Christ, we was as dead men walking. We were all destined to die. Jesus took away the sins. All to him we owe. But just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. You know, and I'm not telling you got to work to be saved, but because you are saved, you should want to work. You see, a person who claimed to be saved while continually by remaining unchanged does not understand faith or what God has done, is doing, and promised to do. God has given us his word, which is his will and his way. God never gives you the opportunity to say something is missing. Because that's the way God is. He's full and complete and never lacking nothing towards his children. God has given us everything necessary to live a righteous life, full of mercy and holding back the punishment that we deserve, and giving us grace, everything we don't deserve, everything we don't deserve. So as I close tonight, God is sanctifying us. He took care of the first part, and he's going to take care of the last part. But we have to take care of the middle right now, each and every one of us. And God has given us instruction, his holy word, for our daily living. And he also gave us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to help us. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. But we have a responsibility to grow in grace by the knowledge of God. And I like to say it tonight, you can't wait, y'all. Some people that's Christians say, oh, I got a time to get better. So they straddle a little bit. But you can't wait, because tomorrow is not promised to no one. And I come to tell you that only those things we do for Christ is going to last. Everything else is temporal and sinking and sinking sand. That's the program for tonight. Glory, hallelujah. Any questions or comments? Anyone would like to ask a question? Anybody want to make a comment? All you have to do is press the one button on your telephone, and I'll open the mic, and you could speak. Anyone have anything they would like to say, press the one button on your phone. Caller, your number is 90063. Your mic is open.
I just wanted to say thank you, woman of God, for your faithfulness and your diligence for bringing the word of God every Wednesday night. May God pour back into you what you poured out into us.
Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you so much. You know, when I ask you guys to make comments or speak or anything like that, it's not where, like, people on in places have to deal with ratings. It's nothing like that on this line. You know, if people talk or don't talk, it makes a difference to me in a sense, because I want to know, you know, sometime how you guys feel about, you know, what we're doing and how it's coming along and if it's helping. And I guess I don't even have to say that, because we've been together for over 10 years and y'all haven't stopped yet. And I am so grateful and I'm so thankful to each and every one of you. But God has given us the opportunity. And as I say it on the first day, and I'll say the same thing after 10 years, this is our Bible study. And, you know, your participation is welcome, I guess is what I'm saying, because you guys call week after week after week, and I'm grateful and I'm thankful to you guys. But if anyone would like to say something, you could press the one button on your phone, and if not, I'll have the benediction. Caller, your number is 504-255-5777. Your mic is open.
How you doing, Sister Diane, tonight? This is Corey Smith. It has been a pleasure for me to sit in with the rest of you guys tonight, listening to God's word and the word coming forward. But what stuck out to me tonight was when you say putting in the work to doing God's will. And this is where I'm at. This was definitely an eye-opener for me.
I'm so glad. And I'm so glad you took time, Brother Corey, to come and join us. And if it's God's will and your desire to come back, we'll be right here waiting for you. And I just want you to know you're welcome. We don't have any big I's and no little U's. This is the word of God, plain and simple. And I'm glad you came, and I welcome you back. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Anyone else would like to say anything? Well, if not, we could have our benediction. Sister Pam, I've opened your mic.
Benediction tonight is coming from 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Until we meet again, amen.
Sister Pam, you just put the cherry on top. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
That you just put the cherry on top. That particular scripture is the last scripture in the book of 2 Peter. It has three. We was in the first chapter, but it has three chapters, and the third chapter has 18 verses. Sister Pam just read the last verse, and that was the last writing of Peter. And not a long after he wrote his book, they crucified him. So Peter, who had a shaky start, but he finished well, and he had experienced God and God's love, he made a suggestion to us that we all grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you, Sister Pam, for putting the cherry on me. And it's so good. And I feel good. I don't know about you guys. I feel good. That caller would like to say something. And we have time. Caller, your number is 954-908. That's Sister Rosemary. Your mic is open.
Good night, everybody. I haven't been on this line for a while, but my daughter called me tonight and said she wanted to get on the line. I said, let me get back on this line. And I am so glad I did, because it's so refreshing and so encouraging to hear you talk about God and how we should acknowledge God and live as closer to God as we can. And I appreciate you, and I'm so glad I got on this line tonight.
Thank you so much, Sister Rosemary Coleman. I thank you for joining in, and it's good to hear your voice. And Shona, if you're on the line, I thank God for you as well. Love you, baby.
Love you more.
That's my sister in Christ, Sister Rosemary Coleman. Hallelujah. It was good hearing her voice. Anyone else would like to just say hi? You could press the one button on your phone. Well, the benediction has been said. The scripture has been read. The song was sung. And it's time for us to end this session. And we're going to come back on next week if it's God's will and your desire. Hope to see you on next week. We'll be right back at the same station at the same time. In the mighty name of Jesus is our prayer. Amen, y'all, and good night.
Amen. Good night.